Eight, as we move on to Satan and his counterfeit stuff, we have Satan promotes himself as a counterfeit God. Satan promotes himself as a counterfeit God. Look at Isaiah 14, please. Isaiah 14, we're going to look at verses 12 through 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house, and we thank you for each one here tonight, Father. For those who couldn't be, I pray that you'd restore them and bring them back, that we could worship together. I pray, Father, that you would continue to guide and direct this church, that you would use us to bring glory and honor to you. I pray, Father, as we continue in through this series looking at Satanology, I pray, Father, that you would just put a hedge of protection around us, Father, as Satan is attacking. He doesn't like it when he's being exposed for who he is. So I pray, Father, that you would just be with us, continue to reveal the truths of your word to us, that we can take them out and share them with a lost and dying world. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Satan, over and over and over, I, right? And he wanted to be like the Most High God. He wanted to take his creator and being the created and dethrone God. Now, we think, well, how insane is that? Well, how many of mankind have tried to do the same thing? Over and over and over we see, in fact, years ago, we were at a funeral for a close personal friend of ours and had no idea anything at that time what the Unity Church was all about, but I got my eyes opened in a hurry, and they were all about, you can be God. I said, not according to the Word of God. I had a hard time sitting there. And out of respect for the deceased, I said, I need to control myself because I wanted to get up and tell the guy who was speaking that he had no clue what he was talking about. The only thing that he had going for him is he never once opened the Bible. Never once did he have a scripture at all. So at least you can't blame God for it, right? But it was interesting because isn't that what Satan wants? Satan wants us to believe that we can be God. Isn't that what he told Eve, basically? You'll know what God knows. You eat of that tree, you'll have the knowledge of good and evil, you'll know what God knows. Now, was that true? Of course not. Any of us that got saved, do we know what God knows? We know a fraction of what God knows because God gave it to us in His Word, right? But we don't know everything that God knows. We'd never be able to know everything that God knows, at least not while we're here. Our finite minds cannot take in an infinite God and all of His knowledge. We just can't do it. But Satan, over and over and over, you see exactly what society tells us, right? It's all about me. I. And that's exactly what Satan did. And God kicked him out of heaven. That pride. We need to be careful of pride. And then Satan promotes his own counterfeit Jesus. Not every religion that claims to worship Jesus worships the Jesus of the Bible. I had a conversation with somebody this last week, and I said, you have to understand that not everybody believes in God. And the answer came, yes, they do. They just worship God their own way. I said, then can you tell me why people who believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers, how can they worship the same God I worship when they don't believe that Jesus is God? And the Bible's very clear that Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So unless they understand who Jesus is and they come by Jesus Christ, they're not worshiping the God of the Bible, the God that I worship. And the answer was, I'm not ready to have a theological discussion right now. See, they don't want to talk about the truth. They just want to spout out whatever they've heard and just regurgitate it and expect everybody's going to be okay with it. The problem is that the truth is the truth and it doesn't change. And we could sit on the sidelines and not say anything and let them continue on in their ignorance, right? Because that's what it is, isn't it? It's ignorant. They haven't been taught. They haven't learned the truth. And then some are willfully ignorant. They've heard the truth and they just choose not to accept it, right? But not everybody worships the Jesus of the Bible. And how can we recognize a false Jesus? Any Jesus who is not virgin-born is a counterfeit. Any Jesus that is not virgin-born is a counterfeit. Look at Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us, right? And then Matthew chapter 1. Verses 18 through 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us, as I mentioned. Genesis 3:15 talks about, I mean, over and over and over we see about the virgin birth in Scripture. And yet man wants to deny the virgin birth. Genesis 3:15 says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Between the seed of the woman, right? And then Jeremiah 31:22. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. And then look at Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 35. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Then any Jesus who is not without sin is a counterfeit. Jesus was sinless. The only one that ever came and walked this earth that was sinless and remained sinless. Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15 says, For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We sometimes think that God has no idea what we're going through, right? That tells us that he does. Tells us that he was touched with all those things that we go through. And yet he remained without sin. People say, well, that's because he was God. He could not sin, right? He's God. But Jesus says, he's gone through what we've gone through. We just more easily, people would say, fall into sin. But no, we more easily, willingly go into sin. And look at chapter 9 and verse 28 of Hebrews. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And John 8:46 says, Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? It's Jesus speaking. Jesus was without sin. Doesn't matter what people want you to believe. The truth of the matter is Jesus was without sin. He had to be in order to be our Savior. Jesus could not have sinned and been able to shed his blood to wash our sins away. It'd be no different than us being able to pay for our own sin, right? If Jesus was a sinner, how could he atone for the sin of mankind? So he had to be sinless. And then any Jesus who is not God is a counterfeit. These people say, well, Jesus isn't God. Yes, he is. When you ask them, do you believe in God? Yes. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? No. Then you don't believe in God. Not the God of the Bible. Because you're not going to get there without Jesus Christ. So any Jesus who is not God is a counterfeit. Look at 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God manifest in the flesh. It's like I said last week again, I was talking about talking with the Velasquezes, and I said, I can't wait to get to heaven where we can learn the word from the word. Right? So we're going to be able to get it straight from the one that was the Word and became flesh and dwelt among us, right? Looking forward to that day, but Jesus, manifest in the flesh, he came here to take on this form, this human form, so that he could die in our place. Look at Colossians 2:9. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And then, very famous, John 1:1 and verse 14. John 1:1 and verse 14, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Drop down to verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Then when Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples and Thomas was missing, then Thomas shows up later and Jesus appears again, and Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Thomas knew who he was. And then 1 John 2:22. This kind of puts those who don't believe that Jesus is God in their place, right? "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." Pretty plain, isn't it? Pretty plain. I like how Jesus, he gets right to the point, right? He doesn't pull any punches. He just lets them know what it is. This is the way it is, folks. You know? Said, we're not going to like it when we get to heaven and everything's done Jesus' way, right? We're going to have a hard time with that, aren't we? Because sometimes we just don't like. Well, I know that's what the Word of God says, but I really want to do it this way instead. Well, when we get to heaven, we're not going to have a choice. You know, we think there's dictators on this earth. Where do we get to heaven and Jesus dictates what we do there? We're going to have to get in line, aren't we? We're going to have to shape up. I don't think it's going to be a problem. See, because we're not taking this sinful flesh with us. When we get there, it's going to be a marvelous place. You know, we heard in the letters about unity. Do you know in heaven there's going to be unity? It's going to be nice, isn't it? There's not going to be the us and the them. There's going to be unity. I never have figured out the us and them mentality. What was that?
My favorite relation of this is John 10:30.
John 10:30. Oh, yes. Yes. I was trying to remember that verse, but yeah. I and my Father are one. Jesus laid it right out. He said, it is what it is. And we can accept that or we can reject that. If we reject that, we reject the Savior. If we accept it, we can have eternal life. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. Any Jesus who returns in mere human flesh rather than in the clouds of glory is a counterfeit. Look at Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to look at 23 through 27. Matthew 24, starting in verse 23, it says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Any Jesus who condones sin is a counterfeit Jesus. Jesus can't condone sin, he's God. God hates sin. How could he condone it? People said, well, didn't he condone it when he let the woman caught in adultery go free? No. I still, every time I think of that, I still want to know where the men were. I mean, the law said her and the man should be brought forth and stoned. So what happened? Where'd the men go? The man that was involved in this, where'd he go? Isn't it interesting how we decide what we want and then we make the story match what we want the outcome to be? We see that a lot in our world today. But any Jesus who condones sin is a counterfeit. Matthew chapter 5, 17 through 19. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 17, it says, Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus does not condone sin, never has, and never will. Jesus went to the cross, took upon himself the sin of all mankind. Every time I think of the cross and I think of God turning his back on his only begotten Son as he was nailed to that cross, I think we, as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, will never, ever face what Jesus faced on that cross when God turned his back on him. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But he could not look upon his only begotten Son as he became sin for us. He who knew no sin, by the way, became sin for us, that we could have his righteousness. That should make us excited. We could have his righteousness. And then Scripture warns that many false Christs have and will enter into the world. Matthew 24, 24. Matthew 24, 24 says, For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. We have to be careful, because these false Christs and false prophets out in the world today want to make us believe a lie. I still like a friend of ours that every time somebody comes knocking on her door and wants to get her to go to their church, quote unquote, Shoei says, if what you believed was a lie, wouldn't you want to know the truth? Wouldn't we want to know the truth? I always wondered, wouldn't they want to know the truth? There's many false Christs. There's false prophets. Let's not be deceived. Let's know the truth. You know, like the Bereans, they search the Scriptures, right? It didn't say they searched the scriptures once. It says they searched the scriptures daily. There's a reason why we need to be in the scriptures daily. We need to know the truth. We need to see these false Christs and false prophets for who they really are. Mark 13:22. Whoops. Excuse me. Mark 13:22. I don't know what I said, but I turned to the wrong page. Mark 13:22, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Even the elect. It's easy to be deceived when you don't know the truth. You know, the Bible talks about being swayed with every wind of doctrine. If we don't know the truth, it's easy. I have to tell you, Satan uses some pretty convincing lines, because he does throw some truth in there. And so we go, well, yeah, that bit of truth, I knew that part. So he must be telling the truth, right? I always think back to the preacher I heard several years ago. He said, Satan's a liar. That's what he knows. That's all he knows. He's a liar. So when we hear Satan trying to get us to do something, we got to go, oh, that's right. You're the liar. I don't want to believe you, because all you do is lie. It'd be easy if we could just pinpoint that, wouldn't it? And say, that's Satan, and he's lying to us, instead of falling for every lie that he puts out there. 1 John 2:18. Says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And then 2 John 1:7. Second John 1:7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Jesus came the first time. The trumpet's going to sound and the rapture's going to take place. One day Jesus is coming back to rule and reign. Yeah, first time he came as a babe in a manger. Second time, touches down on this earth, it's not going to be as a babe in a manger. He's going to come to rule and to reign. And we're out of time, so we're going to stop there.